We're talking about spiritual warfare. We're talking about the battle and the struggle that we have as born-again believers. And if you are under the notion that you are never going to be attacked now that you're a believer, or that you're never going to come under some kind of attack by the enemy, then you are sorely mistaken. Because we all, as believers, are going to face this struggle called spiritual warfare. There's an all-out assault upon you for your very soul, for your life, for your joy, for your peace, for your finances, for your marriage, for your school, for your health, for the sanity that you have. There is an assault upon your life, and the assaulter is called the devil. Amen? He's not a figment of your imagination. He's not just some figuratively speaking person. He is a living, breathing entity that knows your name, that has your address, that knows what you like and you don't like, knows your weaknesses, knows where to push. How many of you guys have brothers and sisters that know where to push, right? And wives, same thing. Husbands, same thing. We know where to push because we know one another. And the devil knows you as well. The devil came up before God and he said, "You are being too good to Job." Been way too good to him. And he said, "I guarantee you that if you take away his wealth, if you take away his finances, if you take away his family, if you do all that, I know that Job will curse you." And so there was an all-out assault upon Job's life. And there is an all-out assault upon our lives as well. That's why we have to know what this topic is all about concerning spiritual warfare, because there is a war going on and we can get the victory. Amen? Now, he goes on and says, "Will you fight?" And they said, "No, we will run and we will live." And he said, "You know what? That's true. Run and you'll live. But how much regret will we have in our life when we keep running? How much time will we waste in our life and our walk with Christ running in fear, never talking about our testimony, never giving generously until it hurts, never giving of ourself until there's nothing left? Like Paul said, that I'm a drink offering being poured out. The Apostle Paul, when he said, "I've finished my race, I have fought the good fight of faith," he said that with scars on his body, literal scars on his body, because he knew what it was to give of himself in all of its totality. And the reason why he did so was because he had a Savior that went before him to show him how to give all, to show him how to give until it hurts, and to give until there's nothing left. Amen? And so I thank God that when Jesus went up into heaven, he didn't just leave us powerless. He didn't leave us as orphans, but he gave us weapons of warfare. And let's look at those things. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Starting with let's start in verse 12 through 14. Let's pray. Father, I come before you and I thank you so much that you are all powerful, that there's not one time where you feel desperate. There's not one time where you feel that you have no answer for the situation at hand, or you're wringing your hands or you're sweating because you're stressed out and you don't know what the answer is. I thank you, Father, that you stand in abundance of grace, in abundance of wisdom. You never grow tired. You are constant always. Thank you, Father, that you have given us the strength, the power, the authority to overcome the enemy. Thank you, Father, that I fight not for victory, but I fight in the position of victory. And so, Lord, I thank you for anointing me to preach your word this morning. God, I pray that it would be revelation to the hearers today. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, starting with verse 12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Now, we'll stop in the middle of that scripture, but let me ask you a question. I asked Sarah this the other day, I think Thursday, and I asked my wife the other day. She came into the office, and I was getting a lady's point of view. And when you notice a person or a lady in the office or going out to eat or wherever it is, and you look at how they're dressed, tell me the first thing that you look at whenever you see someone. What's the first thing you would comment on somebody's outfit? What's the first thing? Shoes? How many shoe people do we have in here? Shoe. All right. What else? What's the second thing? Huh? Jewelry? I didn't even think about that one. Say I'm a guy. I don't know. All right. What else? See, the first thing I think about is a shirt. Ladies, is that the first thing? No. Shoes? Get me out of this, somebody. All right. Or pants or shoes or whatever. Now, where does the belt rank in that scenario? Probably way down low. Unless they're wearing like one of those big cowboy buckles, right? You know, if I walked in here with one of these big old buckles about like that, it'd probably be the first thing. You guys wouldn't even look at my eyes. You'd just be, what is this buckle thing he's got on, man? I'm going to come in one day with one of these big old, it's got horns on it and everything. I'm going to come out. But the thing is that no one really considers the belt, all right? You don't consider the belt until you forget your belt, and then if you're a plumber, you're walking around all day with your pants hung down right here, you know, and constantly pulling them up and hiking them up. And I can honestly say I had a plumber a few weeks ago at my house, and that's exactly the scenario. I went upstairs and he was fixing my toilet, and he was a large fella, and the little corner that my toilet sits in, he had to get in there, and he was on his knees, and I opened the door, and sure enough, I mean, it's just stereotypical. hello, you know. I said, can I be of any service to you? Can I hold your pants up for you, you know? Is there, stick some caulk in there. But, you know, we need our belts, amen? We got to have our belts. It's the center of our clothing that we have. And as for a soldier, as a warrior, especially back in those days, one thing that no one paid attention to was the belt. The Bible calls it the belt of truth, all right? And the belt of truth is symbolic for the Word of God. Everybody say the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It is the center of our life, the center of our being. It is where we get our views from. It's where we get our direction from, our life, our substance, our everything about us should exude the Word of God. It is our source. It's not a secondary source. It is the main source. Amen? When a Roman soldier gets all of his battle gear on, as I was studying this stuff, it's pretty fascinating, to be honest with you. They put their big breastplate on, and that buckles to the belt. And there's a little loop at the bottom underneath, and you can't see. The belt goes through that breastplate, and it ties around his waist. And the reason why it's tied to the belt is tied to the breastplate is because when you are on your horse, and you're running. How many of you guys have ever been on a horse before? Oh, good. Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. So there's a proper way of riding a horse. You've got to put the weight of yourself has got to be in the stirrups, right? And so that way, whenever the horse is galloping, you're not bouncing all over the place, okay? The weight is down in the stirrups, not on your bottom, all right? I know that because I used to break horses all the time. And so another thing is that whenever they're running, that breastplate, when you're running, you guys are running and things going back and forth, it flaps up and down. And so the belt holds the breastplate in place. Not only that, but you see the big shields The shield has a rest on the belt as well because it's heavy. And whenever you're in war, they have a little flap that comes down and it helps hold the weight. The belt also holds your sword. It also helps hold your spear as well. The belt is the centerpiece of a warrior. And as the Bible calls us soldiers, we are in the army of God. And because of that, we need to make sure that when we go into battle, we do not go in on our own strength and our own understanding. But the Bible says that we are to put on the full armor of God. Everything that is on the soldier is supported by the belt. You don't think about it. It's not a big deal. Put my belt on this morning. Don't think about it until I want to take it off at night or when I come home. Don't think about the belt. But it's the centerpiece of our clothing. It's the centerpiece of a warrior's armor. And it's the centerpiece of a believer's life, the Word of God, the belt of truth. Now, this is the only piece of armor that is visible to a believer as well. Now, if you think about it, most of all of the spiritual armor is invisible. The breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. All of those things we know exist because the Bible tells us that these are the things that we have to put on. But there's one piece of armor, there's one piece of armory that we put on that is tangible, that we can put our hands on, that we can actually see, that we can actually apply to our life physically, and that is the written Word of God. Amen? Hey, listen, y'all gonna help me out if you say amen, all right? You're not gonna embarrass me, you're not gonna hold me back, you're not gonna... I mean, if you hear something, you go, hey, that's good, Pastor, all right? But it is the written Word of God. It is the centerpiece of our entire life. It is what we can put our hands on. We can see it. If we're confused about something in our life, we can go to the written Word of God. The problem is that sometimes whenever you want to go and be a police officer, you don't just show up at the police station and go, would you give me a gun and a badge? You know, I can't be like Barney Fife who carries his bullet in his pocket, all right? You gotta go through an academy. You've got to study. You've got to take tests. You've got to shoot. You've got to show that you can take that gun apart, that you can handle it safely, that you can shoot it accurately, that you know how to properly use your equipment. Amen? And sometimes as believers, we do not know how to handle and use the Word of God correctly in our life because we haven't reverenced the Word of God. See, we think that in our walk with Christ that everything's supposed to be good, that we're not supposed to have trouble, that we're not supposed to be confused about stuff. We're not supposed to question our faith. We're not supposed to be angry with God. We're not supposed to do all those things. Yes, we are. How many of you guys have ever been angry with your brother before? Angry with your sister before? Your wife, your husband, family? Get angry, don't you? You get angry. You get emotional about things. That doesn't mean you stop loving people. That doesn't mean you don't stop trusting them. It just means you're upset. It's okay to ask God why sometimes. But don't get stuck in the whys. Let faith arise in your life and say, Father, I have no clue why this is happening in my life, but you do. And so I'm going to lean on your understanding. And in all of my ways in this circumstance, I'm going to lean upon you and I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to yield. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of running. And yeah, I may live another day, but I'm going to continue to run away from this issue. I'm going to continue to run from my problems. And I'm never going to face them. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of wasting time running the opposite way. Amen? It's time that we confront those things. And we can't do it in our own understanding and our own strength and our own understanding. But we have got to confront the enemy head on with the Word of God, which the Bible calls the belt of truth. It is the belt of truth because it holds everything that we are together. Without it, everything else falls apart. Our faith falls apart. We begin to doubt God. We begin to question whether He exists. I read a statistic the other day that said we're losing teenagers in their first year of college. They drop their faith. They abandon their faith within the first years of college. Over 70% of freshmen across the country are abandoning their faith after their first year of college. You know why? It's because when they get to college and they hear these professors lambasting the Word of God and people of faith, they look at these PhDs and these scholars that are standing before them, and they give a good rousing performance and a good rousing, I don't know, they sound right. They're smart. They're articulate. They hold PhDs. They're college professors. So, wow, they must know this stuff. And they begin to plant seeds into your life and doubt into your life. And what happens is that doubt overcomes, and we never run to the Word of God. We never run to the truth, to the very center of our life, which is the Word of God. Because it overcomes our doubts. It overcomes our fears. It's okay to ask God. I just heard something that makes sense, and I'm questioning God. Tell me, help me figure this out. And do you know God will do that? He'll begin to point you to places in the Word of God that will bring peace, that will bring comfort, that will solidify your faith if you will run to it and not from it. Amen? Do you know, and this is just a practical little tidbit, if you look into the Bible, back of your Bible, everybody look in the back of your Bible just for a second, unless you have smartphones, and then, well, you can't do that. Look in the back of your Bible. You know what that's called? I was going to say index, but whatever. But here's the thing. Let's say you want to study on something about finances. You want to study something about finances. Go back there, and it's all alphabetized. Look up the word finance. Look up the word money. If it's faith, look up the word faith. And it'll give you clear direction, multiple scripture verses for you to study. You can cross-reference. You can do all these different things. But just like a person that is studying to be a police officer, you've got to know how to handle your gun. You've got to know the law. You've got to know what your authority is. And as a believer, you've got to study the law. You've got to study how to use this thing called the belt of truth or the sword of the Spirit. We've got to know how to use this thing so that we can combat the enemy, so that we can bring life to our very souls. Amen? Now, God is saying to us that the piece of armor that is in the middle of us, of the man, is the most important weapon available to us. If we take off this weapon, if we lay it down, if we put it up in a closet, if we hide it under our beds, if we neglect the Word of God, what comes next is confusion, doubt, disbelief, and indifference about everything. If you want to continue to drive your car, you will continue to fuel your car. Amen? If you don't, your car is worthless. It's useless. You can get in there and pretend like you're going somewhere. You can get in there and pretend like you're going somewhere. You can even listen to music and have a good time while you're pretending. And so many people do that when they come into the church as well. They come in and they listen to the worship and they pretend. They pretend because they're empty. They pretend because they have taken off this thing called the belt of truth, this thing that holds them up, this thing that sustains them. And we need to fuel our lives with the Word of God, just like we do our cars that give us power in order for us to go. We need to fuel our spirits so that we can continue to go, so that we can continue to thrive, so that we continue to speak His good name. Amen? So, I want to talk to you today about a couple of things. How many of you guys ever heard of logos before? Rhema. You ever heard of Rhema? I want to talk to you about the difference, all right? Now, it's important to point out that there are two kinds of words from God. There's logos, which is the written word. And then there's rhema, which is a fresh word, usually spoken by someone else to you from God. It's like a prophetic word, a rhema word, a fresh word. Somebody comes to you and says, listen, this is what God is telling me to tell you. That's rhema word. Logos is the written word. It is the word of God. But see, rhema is used to help encourage, to edify, to lift us up. But sometimes what we do is that we run after rhema words and we neglect the logos word. Because we think, okay, I've read this, okay, I prayed, I've done it, Job, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Okay, I know that, all right? And then so I want a fresh word. I want a rhema word. And so what we do is we go to this church and we look for a word. We go to this revival meeting and we look for a word over here. We go to this Bible study to look for a rhema word over here. And this and this and this and all these different places. And before you know it, we're just driven by a word. Right. Pastor, can you give me a word for today? Can you give me a word? Yep. When's the last time you read the word? Yeah. When's the last time you've memorized the word? When's the last time that you have prayed the word over yourself? If you don't know what that means, go into the book of Psalms and just begin to pray that over yourself. Just begin to read it and let it soak into you. Pray, read that thing out loud. If you in your dorm room, in your house, or a quiet place, read the word of God over your life. Read it out loud, and let the word of God soak into you. Amen. The written word of God is for our benefit. Hey, listen, I want God to speak to me directly. I want to rhema a word every once in a while, but that's not my main focus. My main focus is to study the word of God. And when we study the word of God, then rhema word comes from the written word of God. Amen. You guys ever been studying the word and you've read this scripture 1,000 times, but all of a sudden it just, boom, it just lifts off the page. And all of a sudden you're going, wow, I never thought of it like that. That's rhema word. You see, the written word, the Bible isn't just words. It isn't just paragraphs. The Bible says that it's living and active. Yes. There's no other book like the Bible. There's no other book that lives. There's no other book that's active. There's no other book that's sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It's able to divide and to give us direction. It's able to give us strength. It's able to give us life and encouragement. It is the rhema word of God. It is the logos word of God. It is what sustains us. Amen? Now, the only way to succeed spiritually is this. It's not about going to conferences. It's not about listening to me preach. It's not about going to Bible studies. It's not about all of those different things. The only way to succeed spiritually is to devour the Word of God, to esteem the Word of God above all else in your life. Amen. You want to know what your political views should be? Read the Word of God. You want to know what your view should be on this or that or the other? Read the Word of God. Amen. It's not about Democrat or Republican or Tea Party or whatever other kind of splinter groups are out there. It's about the Word of God. Amen. It's about studying the Word of God and knowing it through and through. Do I know everything about the Word of God? No. But I'm learning and I'm studying, I'm reading, I'm devouring. Do you know why? The reason why I do that isn't so that I'll get a pen at the end of the month from the Sunday school teacher for reading my Bible. The reason why I devour the Word of God is because I know its detriment to my walk with God. Without it, I am powerless. Without it, I am useless. Without it, I am stuck out like in the Roman amphitheaters. They stick these guys out there and they let lions devour them. We're completely powerless to do anything. But when we know that we have an adversary, when we have someone that knows our address, that knows our name, that knows everything there is about us. You know, I was watching a documentary on ESPN a couple of Saturdays ago about the Mannings. I don't know if you guys watched that. Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, what's his dad's name? Archie Manning. So I was watching this, and one of the things that Peyton Manning is known for is his study time. He goes in and he watches film. He studies his opponent. He studies their weaknesses. He studies their tendencies to run the ball. He studies the defenses, and he studies their formations, and he watches it over and over and over and over and over again. This is a game. He gets paid millions of dollars, but it's a game. It's a game, and so he devotes himself to it. He studies the tendencies of his adversaries, of his opponents. He studies it so that whenever the game time comes, when it's time to confront, when it's time to pass, when it's time to win, he knows their ploys. He knows their defenses. When he backs up, he can read the defenses. Why? Because he studied. And you and I need to understand that there is a battle taking place, and the enemy knows your tendencies. He knows that you have a tendency to run when things get hard. He knows that you have a tendency to have doubt and disbelief whenever you can't answer things. He knows your tendencies when you're in stressful situations. He knows your tendencies in all areas of your life, and yet we neglect to study the Word of God to make ourselves strong, to make this thing the very centerpiece of our being, so that when the enemy comes against us, we can come against him not with speaking in tongues, not with our baptism, not with our Bible knowledge, not with all of these different things, but we come at him with the Word of God. Jesus, when he was out in the desert being tempted, did not come at the devil with his own words and his own understanding, which, trust me, if anybody in all creation and all of humanity had the opportunity and the authority to say anything of substance, of authority to the devil, it was Jesus. Amen? But he did not do that. The devil said, if you're hungry, why don't you just turn that rock into some bread and eat, man? You know, you're hungry. Go ahead and eat. You know, I'm sure the devil wasn't just beating him down with it. He was sympathetic. He's like, come, go eat, you're hungry, you know. And Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. The devil said, he took him up to the highest plane. And he said, hey, if you are who you are, you say you are, go ahead and jump off. See what happens. Jesus said, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. You see, Jesus didn't come at the devil with his own moxie. He didn't come at him with his own strength. He didn't do that. He started it by, it is written. That's right. It is written. And that's how we need to be as well. We need to come at the devil with, it is written. Well, we can't come at the devil with, it is written, if we don't know what's in here. Amen? We have got to understand what the Word of God says about our life. What it says about being a son of God. What does it mean to be a son of God? What does it mean to be in the army of God? What does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to be an heir and co-heir with Christ Jesus? What does that mean? We need to have answers, amen? Now, you look at the way some churches have tried to succeed in the past. You see, some ministers have tried to build churches on praise and worship. Praise and worship is an awesome thing. We've got a great praise and worship team, amen? I love it. But you cannot You cannot build a healthy church on praise and worship. Amen? May come and I've seen some ministers want to try to build a church around social events and fellowship events. I love fellowshipping. I can talk to a post and have a good time. That's just the way I am. That's the way I'm built. All right? When we first came here, we were at Five Guys, Burgers and Fries. Yep. Had no clues, the first time ever in Green Bay. We've been driving through for 14 years, but never really stopped. But here, our first time looking around and everything, and we go into Five Guys, Burgers and Fries, and I see this guy. He walks in, and he's in a painter, it's painter clothes. You know, he's painting. It's lunchtime. And so I go up to him and strike up a conversation because I paint. And so I said, "Hey, man, how's the painting around here? How's business? How's it going? What are you working on? Is it more new construction, or is it more remodels, or are you doing industrial work? What is it?" And man, we just struck up a conversation. We're just talking and jabbering on, and I got finished, and Dana and the kids were waiting out, and Dana goes, "Who does that? Who does that?" I can do that. Jonathan does that. Does he do that? But the thing is that you can't. I love talking just like the next person. I'm a preacher. That's what I do, okay? But the thing is that you can't build a solid, healthy church just on social events. Amen? And I'm going to say this, and you may go, but you can't build a church on prayer either. You can't just pray and that's it. There's got to be action after you pray. Amen? You can't just build a church on prayer alone. So the Bible is the only piece of spiritual armor that we can tangibly hold on to and that we can build a church upon. Amen? Because if a church preaches anything else besides what is written in the Word of God, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Now, I may not be the flashiest preacher in the world, and I may not hack, and I may not have a hanky, and I may not have a bunch of banners waving around, but what you will get from me is the truth of God's Word. Amen? What you will get from me is something you can take home today, this hour, and place inside your life and use. Amen? What good is flashy preaching if you can't use it? What good is flashy preaching is if the only thing that you do is clap and say amen, which, hey, I want you to do. All right? But the thing is that it can't end there. We must apply the Word of God to our lives. Stop our running and start confronting the enemy, not with our own understanding, but with the Word of truth, with the belt of truth being the centerpiece of our life. Hey, it's not the sexiest thing in the world. It's not the most flashy thing in the world. It's not something that everybody looks at and goes, wow. But it's what holds us up. It's what sustains us. It's what causes everything else to be joined together so that when the enemy comes, our breastplate's not flapping in the wind, and we have a rest for the shield so that it will combat the fiery darts of the enemy. Everything centers around the belt of truth. We get off on these flashy. Thing is that we get so distracted so easily. We love flashy things. It's just the way it is. Have you guys ever seen Up? See that dog? You know, he's got the little collar on that causes him to speak or whatever. He's talking, dog. No, I'll see a squirrel. That's how we are sometimes. We see these flashy things in the church. We see, whoa, look at that. But then it slowly drifts over to non-biblical ways. Remember, we're no more spiritual than we are biblical. I'm going to say that until you write it down in your Bibles, because I'm going to tell you, it will sustain you. It will cause you to avoid a lot of grief in your life. Is that whenever we have to judge every single thing in our life according to the truths of the Word of God. Amen? Not to the truths of the Assemblies of God or any other denomination or organization, but the Word of God. It's got to be the centerpiece of our life. The Bible must be the governor, the law, the ruler, and the final say-so in our life. Amen? If you're confused about a decision that you're about to make, stop. Stop. Get in the Word. Pray. If you're confused, you're about to make a big-time decision and you don't know what to do, pray. Read the Word of God. Call a brother in Christ and say, help. I need your prayers. I need wisdom. The Bible says that He will graciously give us all things. Do you believe that this morning? Let's all stand up. Verse 10 of Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And that's what they are. They're schemes. They're schemes to destroy you. They're schemes to make you doubt. They're schemes to discourage you, cause you not to have joy. That's what schemes do. That's what he has. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. May it be buckled around your waist. Amen. Let's pray this morning. This morning, if there's anybody here that is struggling concerning these things, Pastor, I definitely am in a fight and I do understand. I haven't been studying the Word. I don't know what it says. You say, Pastor, I need help in this area. I need that help. Would you just raise your hand? I want to pray over you this morning. Amen. Amen. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're here for the first time. And this knowledge is blowing your mind. Maybe it's something you never heard before. Maybe you feel something deep down in your spirit that you feel like that there needs to be a change in your life. You've been running all over the place looking for a rhema word when the Logos word is here, tangible, able to bring life to you. You say, Pastor, I'm not even a Christian and I want that in my life. I want to repent of my sins. I want to accept Christ this morning as my Lord and as my Savior. I want to make Him the governor of my life. If that's you this morning, I want you to raise your hand. Just put it down so I can see. Amen. And the last part of this is, Pastor, I've been struggling. I'm in a fight and I just need your prayers. I don't know what to do. I'm in a situation and I just need your prayers. That's you. I just want you to raise your hand. Raise it high so I can see it. Amen. This morning, before we go, if you raise your hand, I want you to come. I want to pray over you. I want to believe the prayer of faith over your life. So if you raise your hand, just come on down. I want to pray with you this morning.